Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Well, it's a nice day out there, kids, compared to the last couple of days. And it's going to be nicer tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. It's going to be 40s on the weekend.
Up to 50 by Sunday.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With rain.
Ow.
It's going to rain?
Yeah.
Well, that's
likely,
fine.
Yeah.
You know, people always go, it's like zero and sunshine's out, and they go, well, at least you have the sun. Well, zero, who cares? But when it's 50, I don't care if it's raining, it's 50.
All right. Well, it's bad if you're getting married.
Oh, that's not my issue.
My niece is getting married on Saturday.
Oh, well, good luck.
Yeah.
Well. What's your niece's name?
Erin.
Erin, and who is she marrying?
Brian.
Is Brian a nice boy?
He's awesome.
We
love Brian. Yes.
And how did they meet?
I think it was an online thing.
Oh, how romantic.
Yes.
And are they both in working? And
yeah, they are. They both live in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lovely young couple.
They are.
How many children will they have?
I don't know.
What are their names?
They have a big dog. I know that.
Oh,
I forgot
great.
The dog's name,
dogs.
Though. But it's going to be a great wedding in Ravenswood. Very exciting.
You know the pooper scooper companies that follow dogs around or go to your house and they clean up after your dogs? Do they not like bigger dogs because of the obvious production?
I didn't know there even was a company that did that.
I don't know if they after my own dog.
How big's your dog, Steve?
Yeah. He's 70 pounds.
Ooh.
He's a big dog.
Do you hire someone to pick up after him?
No, I follow him around, do it myself.
They're the pooper duper pooper scoopers.
No, because we go for walks. I don't let him go just anywhere. And so when we're on a walk, I have a bag and I use a little bag to pick it up. Kind of standard operating procedure for dogs in the city.
Yeah. And in the suburbs, too.
Yep.
If I get a dog this summer, which I'm leaning towards, will you just come to my house and pick it up?
I have to tell you, it is not the best part of owning a dog.
Yeah, you think?
But,
let's do the top six at six right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Item number one. The most basic part of Congress is have a budget, pass a budget, keep the government open. Nope. Friday's the deadline. And for the first time since, I was it 2012, 2011?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There may well be a government shutdown over the compromise between the DACA arguments and whether or not the budget will in fact be passed. Mitch McConnell, a congressional troll, and I don't mean troll like in an internet way, I mean an actual troll, like a guy that lives under a bridge.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell says immigration shouldn't be a part of this. Well, how about you just figure out a way to help the DACA kids and do it because it's your frickin' job.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. By the way, Chuck Schumer and Nancy, you're all failures. Chuck, Nancy, Paul, and Mitch, get out. You're all failures. Congress has about a 12% approval rate. Shingles
if that,
has
yeah.
a higher approval
right.
rate.
Yeah, remember the list? It was like getting struck by lightning has a higher approval rate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bad rashes. Yeah, higher approval rate. Yeah. Oh, next. Pentagon plan that has been sent to President Trump for approval would permit the use of nuclear weapons to respond to a wide range of devastating but non-nuclear assaults, including cyber attacks. Not a good idea, kids. The use of nuclear weapons has always been a deterrent and as a response if we were ever nuked or any of our interests were attacked by nukes. Not as a strike against others who might be doing something by way of terrorism that was non-nuclear. It's a big story. We're going to hear more about this. Next. White House physician said on Tuesday President Trump's overall health was excellent.
You know, that when that report came out, I laughed.
I watched the entire...
And then the picture, then they were like the photo op after.
I watched the entire hour.
Uh-huh.
The entire hour of questioning of Dr. Ronny Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was President Obama's doctor. When, even at the end of the Bush 2's administration, he's been around for a while. And there's no reason to doubt his capabilities as a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But Donald Trump does not weigh 239 pounds.
No. Donald Trump is not in excellent health. If you're 1 pound away from obesity.
No. Just drop that part. Forget about that part. He is not 239 pounds. I promise you on my life, he is not 239 pounds. As a guy that weighs more than 239 pounds, and I can tell you he is not 239 pounds.
Oh.
Steve, are you in that club with me?
I am in that club, and I have to tell you that there's no way in...
not a chance.
The world. No way.
Not a chance.
And it was funny watching social media yesterday because people were posting pictures of people who were actually 6'3 and 239 pounds.
Like Albert Pujols.
Yes, him and Jay Cutler right. And a couple of other very well-known athletes. And even President Obama, he was 6'1, I believe. And 189 pounds.
Yeah, a rail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you see the two pictures of them together, there's no way
not he's 239 pounds. He weighs 239 pounds. Excuse me. I get all choked up when I talk about how heavy the president is. But, you know, look, the rest of it, we got other fish to fry. And Donald Trump doesn't eat fish unless it's a fish fillet.
That's right.
No, but the credibility part of this, if you can't tell the truth on that, doesn't that sort of go through everything else? I mean, what can you believe?
We can't tell. The truth can't be told on a word that was spoken that everybody heard.
The entire White House appears to be hypnotized.
How about liars?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not realize that Propecia is a preventative medication for hair loss.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was it keeps you from losing your hair.
Yeah, but here's the problem. It also causes erectile dysfunction. And if you're the Merck company, I think it's Merck that produces it. Mm-hmm. I never used it, obviously. the really bad day for the Merck company, because if you're the Merck company and it comes out that Trump's using Propecia and your hair ends up looking like that,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's good for business. Next. A judge has ordered Illinois to expand medical marijuana qualifying conditions to include pain. This is a good idea. I thought that was already in there.
I thought it was, too.
So, of course, that makes sense. And then there's this. This is not good news. Corey Crawford is suffering from something, Dave, you dealt with, which is vertigo. And you had it for, what, a month?
Probably about a month, several years ago.
And Corey Crawford's already missed 10 games, mm-hmm. which has got to be a month. Right? Well, close to it.
Yeah, he 2 to 3 weeks. Hasn't played since before Christmas.
So because of that, the Hawks have struggled, you know, mightily, mm-hmm. Because Forsberg and Glass are not Corey Crawford.
Right.
So they're doing the best they can, mm-hmm. and they've done fairly well considering. Having said that, we want Corey Crawford back, and there's concerns now he may be done for the year.
And the Sun-Times is saying that there is concern within the organization that he could miss the rest of the season. And certainly as hard as Forsberg and Glass have tried, they're not. You're right. I mean, Corey Crawford's having a Vezina Trophy type season.
Yeah, and he's one of the best in the league, and he has mm-hmm. been for years.
Right.
So that's not good news.
Nope.
And we certainly hope that's wrong. Who reported that story?
Mark Lazarus in the Sun-Times.
Yeah,
the
And then there's this. Let's end with some good news. 36 dogs have been adopted, at least 36 dogs, rescued after the city shelter hit capacity, avoiding the need to euthanize, and obviously there's many more that need to be adopted. Let's go live to Steve now, who's at the kennel.
Yes, we're here in the middle of the kennel. I'm actually in one of the cages.
And where do you need to go to adopt one of those dogs?
Well, you can go to the Animal Care and Control website, and I believe they're over on Western Avenue. I don't know the exact address, but the number of dogs adopted means that they won't have to euthanize any for now, that they've brought their population down. But I'm sure they would still love to see you. They've got lots of nice dogs ready for adoption.
I see. So the number they've saved so far takes them under the number?
It takes them down enough where they say they won't have to euthanize any dogs.
Well, that's great.
So
that's
at least great. Not now. But they, you know, there's always great-looking dogs over there ready to for their forever homes. So.
And Steve is volunteering, in case you missed the top of the show, to come around and pick up the poop.
I will. And live from the Animal Kennel, I'm Steve Krasanik.
Top 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Imagine a world free of lung disease. Help us realize that vision and make a difference when Dave Ennett and WGN Radio do the American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb at Presidential Towers on March 11th. That's a Sunday morning. And Dave and a team of Davits will be out there. You'll be climbing all four towers of Presidential Towers. What do you do to train for that?
Well, I just do my normal thing. Now, some people climb stairs.
What is your normal thing?
Well, I mean, it's running. It's
how far do you run?
Anything. Well, I'll run for time, really. Like half an hour or so on a treadmill. Or
do you run outside?
Not often, because my knees, it tends to hurt my knees more. But I'll get on a, yesterday I was on a stair climber at the gym, actually.
The old school one that says actual stair steps, or the ones that be a pump?
This was one of the newer ones.
Okay.
Like, I didn't totally understand how to work it. Because I remember the ones with the steps.
The actual steps?
Yeah. On the belt.
It's going to be fun for you kids. And I say you kids because I will not be climbing with you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Climb 1, 2, or 3 or all four towers for a total. I will make a contribution, however, as I do every year.
I know that, and I appreciate it. And but what if someone were to carry you up the steps?
That'd be a very difficult job for them. Because
I would be
fussy.
Yeah, would you?
Yes.
Would you?
I would go, put me down. 2,340 steps in total. Take the first step and register today for the Fight for Air Climb. It's fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Havana, nana.
Hey.
Half of my heart is in Havana, nana.
Hey.
He took me back to East Atlanta.
Havana, 624, it's the coolest song. Steve Cochran Show all-time top 10.
Oh.
It's number 11.
Awesome.
It hasn't quite made the top 10 yet, but it's a new song. It's got time.
Can you understand what she's saying half the time?
Havana, half my heart is in Havana. He took me back to East Atlanta. This is she's the youngest and most recent memory to have a number one debut, and it's been number one for 7 weeks now.
Is it Camila Cabello?
Camila Cabello.
Okay.
Fantastic. She performed on New Year's Eve for the Dick Clark's Ryan Seacrest extravaganza.
Yeah, we're going to have her in for the New Year's Eve.
She's awesome.
We should put all of our favorite songs on a Spotify list for everybody to hear.
That's a good idea. All right, who's going to do a playlist?
Go ahead, Steve.
I'll do it.
What's your favorite
Everybody
song?
Get their songs together. We'll do our morning show playlist.
You know, because of the influence of Abigail Grace, I would include If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands.
That's a great one.
The Tickle Me Elmo song.
Elmo's World.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood screenwriter and director James Gunn, creator of the Guardians of the Galaxy film series, those are funny movies, good movies, has introduced a $100,000 bounty for anyone who can prove that Donald Trump doesn't weigh 239 pounds. He's looking for proof of Trump's actual weight. If you can do it, he will give you $100,000. Gunn's Twitter feed showed doubts about Trump's measurements, comparing him, amongst other people, to Albert Pujols, the slugger for the California / Los Angeles Angels.
You know, they have lip readers who can, you know, when there's someone mouthing something, they should have a weight reader, almost like a weight whisperer.
Well, that's how I got into show business. I was weighing people at the fair and at the carnival.
With your mind.
Are we going to call this the Girther
checking
movement,
out their body
the
mass index?
Well, that's what. Who started the Girther movement?
I saw this yesterday.
Oh, I did see that. Someone started that.
Not Girther. 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 James Gunn says, come to think of it, perhaps Trump doesn't weigh as much as one would think because his tiny hands are so small. Well, you know, if you're bringing on yourself, don't you?
And the pictures, oh my gosh, since this came out, it's like Air Force One with the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Every picture of him eating.
Yeah, the State
every
Fair with
single
the
single picture of him eating.
With the pork chop.
Now, I will say this. That is more health information than I have ever seen given up for a president of the United States. Because normally after a presidential physical, you'll have a network reporter standing on the lawn at the White House and say the president's doctor reports that the president is in excellent health or needs to do this or that or they found this or that. I've never seen a doctor take questions for an hour.
I know. That was weird. And the photo op was just so weird, too. Picture, 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 picture.
So just work quick. He's got good genes. I don't doubt that he's got good genes. He couldn't be alive at 71 with what he eats. He doesn't exercise. He eats McDonald's and KFC, but he's in excellent health. Those things don't add up. And at 239 pounds, no, he's not 239 pounds. But since we're on the verge of legislation that could approve nuclear counterattacks for things like a cyber attack, I think we have more issues than this. So I highly recommend we move on. Though it would be nice to get $100,000 if you had a picture of Trump on a scale. Yeah. I mean, government work doesn't pay that much.
No.
Even at the highest level. If you're working in the White House and you're not a physician's assistant, say, but you work with the medical office, mm-hmm. and you're standing around when Trump hits the scale. I mean, how cool would it be just to slip your phone out, snap a picture of the number, huh?
I know the athletic comparisons are out now, but the presidential comparisons, too. And I think you did this with President Trivia one time. Taft was more than 350 pounds. He commissioned commissioned a company to make the largest porcelain bathtub ever made for an individual.
And he got stuck in it.
Yeah, and he got stuck in it, and yeah. He died 1 year. He died at 72, just a year older than Trump is.
Well, back then, 72 was 108 in today's years.
Yep.
So he does appear to have the heart of a horse and the fanny of one as well. We may never know two things, his tax returns and his actual poundage. But and I mean this when I say this. The good news is the president doesn't appear he's going to drop dead any minute now, which you certainly could have made that assumption based on his diet before. They're trying to get him on better healthier eating kick. Hey, Dave, you could be the president's nutritionist. You could advise Trump on what to eat. Have Trump mirror your eating habits. Well, except for the booze. You could have Trump mirror your eating habits. Be good for him.
I think that's too tough a job, really.
You got other things to do?
Well, no, I mean, I understand.
What if your country needs you? What if America needs you to follow Donald Trump
there
around
are people,
and
Steve,
slap the fried food out of his hands?
There are people more knowledgeable on that than I am.
I don't know.
Why is he going to listen to a schlub like me?
I think the question should be, do you want to do it? Not do you have time to do it?
America's calling, Dave. You consider this. We'll get back to you.
Okay, let me.
The
let
top
me
get, authorities in the government are standing by. At 6:29, we'll come back. Or do we have a break here or not? Yeah, we got one break. We'll come back with the headlines. Andre has that next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
We welcome Karen Conti. Wait, do we haze new staff members? I mean, she's been a guest forever. And, you know, she's a regular guest. She's almost staff, but not she's a staff member. Do we have a hazing process?
No, because she's so good, and we've known her for so long, and very well-deserved.
Well, we don't recommend hazing anyway. Congratulations on your show.
Thank you, Steve. It's really exciting. I wish I had a voice to use to be on my show this weekend. But
well, you sound squeaky. You sound squeaky. It's a little squeaky. You feel okay?
I feel good. I just sound terrible.
Well, look, by Sunday, it'll either be way worse or completely gone. So you got that going for you?
That's true.
Hey, can we talk about these gymnasts for a second?
Oh, yes.
This horrible nightmare doctor, Dr. Larry Nassar. These girls are literally little girls who are exceptional young athletes when they're chosen to be gymnasts and potential U.S. Olympic gymnasts of the highest order. And he would take advantage of them during their physical examinations. And frankly, they didn't know any better. I mean, that's the summation, isn't it?
No, it is. And, you know, this is, as I was doing some research, I was looking into this guy, and he'd been doing it for years, apparently. Many, many women, and maybe over 100 women. But this goes on in the sport all the time. There have been studies showing that in the last 20 years, at least 370 women have come forward saying that they've been abused, and girls, mostly girls. And it just doesn't make any sense that the sport has not weeded these people out, and I really don't know why.
This guy's going to jail forever, right?
Yeah, he's already been sentenced to 60 years in federal prison for child pornography. He's got other charges pending in other states, and this one's probably going to put him away anywhere between 40 and life. This judge is going to give him life. If you listen to any of the testimony of these women, these courageous women who came forward and talked about what happened to them, I mean, it brings tears to your eyes. And it also astounds you that parents were not believing their children. This guy was such a manipulator. He not only chose his profession so he could do what he did, but he chose his victims, and he manipulated them and the whole system. It's just astounding to me that nobody around him knew that this was going on.
Don't you think somebody had to? And that would be my next question. Accessory to something like this, what sort of penalty are we talking about?
I mean, it could land you maybe not a life in prison, but certainly a substantial jail term. There were other coaches around him that apparently the girls are saying, yeah, he walked in and he saw this inappropriate conduct and he just rolled his eyes or he said something sarcastic and walked out. Based upon those kinds of allegations, if they are proven, that's going to pull in a lot of people. The other thing is, you know, you say to yourself, why didn't the Olympic Committee, why didn't the USA Gymnastics, why didn't these gyms, they must have heard about this stuff going on. But I think a lot of times they don't want to taint the sport. They don't want to taint their gym. And they know that if they fire somebody and it comes out that it was because of abuse, then there's going to be an uproar and there are going to be lawsuits, et cetera. So it's sort of like by keeping it quiet, they try to avoid any implication themselves. Karen, and in so doing, they're complicit.
Karen, when he's sentenced again, he's already going to be locked up forever, and this will be consecutive sentences, I'm sure. But explain the difference between consecutive sentences and concurrent sentences. Is it to ensure that they never have a chance for parole, or just the number to show, oh, yeah, there's 200 years in prison?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, consecutive is what it sounds like. One gets served and then the other one gets served. And here, make no mistake, this guy won't get out of jail. But out of abundance of caution, they want to, make sure that there is a good conviction, because things get overturned and laws change and you don't want this guy ever getting out. Also, there's another part of this. Child pornography is a different crime than sexual abuse, and prosecutors want to make an example of this guy. They also want to give the victims a chance to talk about it. And so though that's an important part of this prosecution, not only putting him in jail, which he certainly will be, but to make a statement that we're not going to put up with this anymore. And I think that this is a good thing for the women to be able to say what happened to them, confront the villain, and to accuse other people of not coming to their aid. I think this is very important.
Yesterday, Steve Bannon was compelled to testify by subpoena because he wouldn't answer questions when Congress asked him. He came in voluntarily, but then he claimed executive privilege. What was it? Don Jr. claimed executive privilege because he had a conversation with someone else. There may or may not have been an attorney around. Look, I've always understood executive privilege to be a presidential thing, and it's not something you could just throw around that easily to protect yourself. What's going on here?
Well, I mean, it's a narrow privilege, but it could apply to people in his administration close to him, and that has to do with confidential privileged information. It can't be about something illegal. It can't be about something extraneous. But if it's about the security of the country or something about the policy, then it could be considered to be executive privilege. I love the fact that Bannon was subpoenaed. There's nothing that a prosecutor likes more than a disgruntled employee. And, I'd love to be a fly on the wall having heard any of the conversation or any of the questions that were asked of him.
The communications director, at least in title, Hope Hicks, who's been around Trump forever, is going to be questioned on Friday. Wouldn't she be in the same position where she would probably have to claim it?
Yeah, I think you're right. Most of the questions she'll probably object to, but there technically are probably things like, did you go to a meeting is not an executive privilege. You know, the fact of being at a meeting, the fact of a person attending something, that's not a privileged situation. And if there are other people in present who are not part of the executive circle, that takes it out of the privilege too. So, you know, they might object to everything and just hope that no one pushes the issue. But technically, it's a much more narrow privilege than I think people see it.
Karen, congratulations on your first show. We're super excited. Well, well, well deserved. I'm glad we're going to hear more of you. What do you have planned coming up this weekend?
We're going to talk about medical marijuana. There's a lot of stuff going on. I've got a guy who is a lawyer, and he runs a marijuana growing plant or whatever you want to call it, and he's very active. And we're going to talk about the little girl who needed to use her medical marijuana, and the school didn't let her, and that resolved itself last week. We're going to talk about those types of issues and how they affect everybody. I've got a couple coming on. They're PhDs. They talk about how you in your relationship should fight. It's fascinating because, as you know, I do family law, so I see people fight, and they all say, you know, we fight too much. And that's the opposite. Couples should fight, and we're going to talk about how you should fight to do it constructively to make your relationship better.
Healthy fighting.
Healthy fighting. That's right.
You got to clear the air.
That's right. You do.
By the way, we're paying you in Bitcoin. I hope that's all right. I had a rough day yesterday. Maybe it'll come back.
You know, it's hard for me to even understand how that works, but I find it interesting that countries just don't like Bitcoin because they can't regulate it. They can't tax it. They don't know what's going on. And I'm wondering if our country is going to do that as well.
Well, I don't know. And, listen, we're going to give it to you. I don't even know where you're going to spend it, but good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
Sunday night, 7 to 9, Karen Conti. You calling it the Karen Conti Show? What are you calling it?
It's the Karen Conti Show.
All right, that works. Good name. What's the phone number at the firm?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com.
Thank you for that.
If the critics of the president were who he said he was, why did NBC give him a show for a decade? Why did Chuck Schumer and all of his colleagues come and beg Donald Trump for money?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I did not hear that. That cannot be the president's press secretary using an excuse of why people pick on Trump. He was on NBC because he got ratings.
Right.
He wasn't on NBC because he was a good guy.
And I used to watch that show. It wasn't, well, I shouldn't say anything because he might be.
Oh, he's on hold.
Yeah, on
hold. Oh, look.
I didn't say it wasn't that great.
The last few years, the ratings weren't good at all.
Right.
I'm guessing he's probably not listening now because he's probably trying to round his weight down. Let's go to the president standing by now. And I was concerned that he always monitors the show. President Trump, good morning, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Cochran. Have you checked your stock portfolio lately? You're welcome. The Dow is huge, thanks to me. That I can tell you.
I do have to say, the economy since you've been in office has been nothing short of spectacular. So,
Thank you. This
immigration meeting debacle, our own Senator Durbin called it vile, racist language, the S-hole countries. Lindsey Graham said he confronted you about it, but you didn't exactly say what you said. And then they got Colton and Purdue that said they couldn't recall what you said after they said that. Then they said you didn't say what you said. Look, what's going on here?
Look, I didn't want to embarrass him, but Dickie Durbin slept through the whole meeting.
No,
okay,
I did.
And I have zero respect for Lindsey Graham. I mean, any guy who runs around with a little girly name can never be taken seriously. Besides, he's not pretty enough to be Lindsey. I'm just going to call him Agnes. He looks more like an Agnes. He really does.
I don't disagree with that. I would think he's more of an Agnes than a Lindsey. Now, you did say S-hole countries, right? Come on.
I didn't say it, but even if I did, I'd probably tweet it first. I'd tweet it. I'd hashtag the name of the country, followed by a flag emoji, followed by a poop emoji, followed by a small case letter O for the whole. Frankly, Haiti and Africa shouldn't take it so personally. An asshole is what I call any place where you can't order a well-done steak with ketchup.
Oh, okay, sure, yeah.
I love Haitians. I love the Haitian people. I have a Haitian chef at Mar-a-Lago. You know that?
No,
he's fantastic. On top of that, he makes the best Hillary Clinton voodoo dolls for me.
It's just, you're not helping.
Put pins in the cankles.
You're not helping your cause. All right. Now, you said you're the least racist person that anyone's ever seen, that anyone's ever interviewed. I mean, how do you even prove that?
That's right. I'm not racist. I'm not racist. Just to be sure, I actually looked up the word racist on my smartphone, but I switched the language to Norwegian in settings, so I couldn't read it. Needless to say, the pen in my pocket is black, my socks are black, and the recent MRI of my heart said it was black, too. I have many black friends, Steve.
Yeah, that's great.
I let Arsenio Hall win Celebrity Apprentice, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. I even sprung for Dennis Rodman's recent DUI bail and paid for his lawyer. Did I mention that I made Dennis my official U.S. ambassador to SOL countries?
You know, some of these things you're saying today are actually making sense. Let me switch topics. Your first presidential physical last week, yesterday, your doctor stood up there for an hour, answered more questions than I've ever seen about a public figure about his or her health, and the doctor said you're in excellent health.
Excellent. Tremendous health, Steve. I did so incredibly well in my physical. Mm-hmm. I really did. They said my cholesterol numbers were the highest of probably any human being that's somehow still alive.
Well, that's not the
really.
Goal.
And my doctor was so incredibly thorough. I mean, he checked everything.
Yeah, listen, that's not the goal.
I'm in fantastic shape. My weight is perfect for my height. Most people carry weight in their hips. I carry it in my hand.
Yes, of course you do. Of course.
My doctor told me to just keep drinking the Diet Cokes. Did you know aspartame is a natural pickling solution?
A pickling solution.
It keeps my insides very well preserved. And I'm on very little medication for a guy my age. Very little. I take Crestor once a day, Propecia once a day, and Melania whenever she says it's okay.
And I'm guessing that's been a while?
Yeah.
Listen, we also heard you had a cognitive exam, but you requested it. You wanted to take this Montreal test to prove that you were all okay between the ears.
Yes, it was a tremendous test to showcase my stable genius. I wanted everybody to see. Had me look at the ink blots to see what I saw. One of the ink blots was a dead ringer for Crooked Hillary eating a hot pretzel. Look, if I have dementia like everyone says, then how come I never forget to say something completely offensive every single day of the week?
Well,
come on, it doesn't make sense, Scott Green.
Yeah, no.
I totally have my wits about me. Huge wits.
Yeah, you know, again, a lot of sensible, common sense things. Now, Steve Bannon sat down with Congress about Russia. Now he's been subpoenaed to come back because he wouldn't answer a lot of questions. Said your lawyers told him not to talk. Listen, are you concerned about Bannon?
Look, can I just say how bad I feel for Mueller and the grand jury? I mean, really, you try sitting in a room with Bannon for more than 15 minutes. Nearly impossible to get the smell of rotting flesh out of your clothes. Might as well just buy a new wardrobe. Am I concerned? No way. I'm actually surprised Sloppy Steve even made it to the Russia hearing on time. He usually doesn't even come from the blackout drinking till around noon or 1 o'clock at the earliest. By the way, Bannon wasn't fired from Breitbart. Little fake news I wanted to clear up. That's completely fake. In fact, he retired from Breitbart so he could spend more time with his cirrhosis and liver spots.
Well, you know, family time is important. All right, so did you want to comment on a Wall Street Journal report that you paid off the porn star you had an affair with before the election? And did you have an affair, and was it $100,000 to some woman named Stormy Daniels?
Okay, look, I didn't know her, okay, but I was always a fan of her work. Stormy Daniels had the largest breasts I've ever seen on a weather forecaster since before Al Roker had his gastric bypass.
All right, that's probably as good a place as any to end. I hope you have a nice day, sir.
Stay huge, Cochran.
Okay, fine. He was doing well up to that point. Up to the end, he was making sense.
Did you hear Saturday Night Live over the weekend said it's interesting that the story about Stormy Daniels was the fourth story down in the paper?
I tweeted that out 3 days before. How is it we're living a time where the president could have paid off a hooker or a prostitute or a porn star and it barely makes the front page?
Right. It's on like page four.
It's a minute before seven. We'll come back with it. Here's Lisa Glink next hour.
Okay?
Oh, and we're finally going to get Pat Tomasulo some publicity.
Yes, his show starts Saturday, you know.
Pat Tomasulo will join us just after 7 o'clock. Thank goodness we have an opportunity to plug his show. I know most of you didn't know he had a show. We'll get to the news in a second on 720 WGN.
Ashley, when you say they're older, what age group are we talking?
They're 60s.
Wow.
They're going to be dead.
Oh, yeah. No way.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old.
old. You can't just take her stuff. She's too old.
They're older. I wasn't trying to.
Yeah. They're not old, but they're old. They're older.
This old guy?
He's already achieved so much. He has a 5-year plan.
What is it? Don't die?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
What do you figure there, Joe? Just being mean?
No, he's just putting together a little bump there.
Mm. Elise Glinklater, Dean Richards, Tony Granato, head coach of the University of Wisconsin and Team USA for speed skating? Is that right?
No, not speed skating.
Ice dancing?
Not quite ice dancing. Not synchronized
slalom.
Swimming. No. Mm. No, you're close. Sort
freestyle.
Of. Now you're cold.
What is it?
It would be
ice hockey?
Ice hockey.
Oh, ice hockey.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, looking forward to talking to Tony Granato, who'll be on a little bit later on. And the great Richard Lewis will be in studio as well. I have to salute Paul Rennie, who is our boss here and also the boss of Channel 9. And
very wise, mm-hmm. good-looking, wonderful, great man.
You mean like Yoda? Like yes. Yoda was?
Yes, he thinks. Me thinks.
Yeah, okay. And you're not sucking up. You actually believe that.
No, I really like Paul a lot.
Yeah.
He's a great boss.
So at a time when nobody's spending money on developing new shows, Paul Rennie green lit, as we say in the business, because we're fancy, this new show that Pat Tomasulo is going to be doing this weekend. Now, I know you haven't heard of it because they're barely talking about it. But Pat has agreed to join us now. He's just come out of some collagen work on his lips.
Yeah.
Prior to Saturday night's debut. Listen, thank God that you're finally on here so you can talk about this thing.
I love how you say that Pat has agreed to come on. I'm begging to get some publicity for this show. I'll go on any show. Anybody with a podcast, anybody with a blog who's out there.
It's true.
How the hell are you? I miss you. I haven't seen you in so long.
I miss you as well, my friend. And he's been jumping in and out of the Ubers, just telling people mm-hmm. in Ubers mm-hmm. that the show's coming up.
You got to do it. If Bernie Sanders taught us anything, you got to hit that grassroots level. You know what I mean?
Have you noticed the car wraps, too? You know, they were offering to wrap all of our cars at Channel 9.
Whose idea do you think that was?
Yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we only got half a car wrap. I wouldn't say a car wrap. I don't know what half a wrap would be called. But
right.
You know, we're spending money. We're not spending that much money.
But it's good, though, because, look, all of us would love to have more promotion for whatever we're doing. This is literally the most promotion I have ever seen for the debut of a show.
Yeah.
Including the Eric and Svetlana show or whatever it was when it started on the
I'm at a point right now where I kind of have mixed feelings about it because I love, obviously, you love the promotion. The hardest thing is to get people.
Are you sick of yourself? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm sick of you. Well, you know how it is doing comedy, right?
Yeah.
Even the thing you love, you can do a bit that you absolutely love, and then 5 days later, what? You hate it, right? So we did these things like 6 weeks ago. Yeah, I loved them at the time.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, if I have to see my stupid fat face in one more commercial break saying the same damn thing, I'm going to lose my mind. That said, really excited for the show this Saturday night at 10 o'clock on WGN at 10 o'clock.
All right, so the brilliance of this is you put it on at 10 and you lube everybody up. And then, you know, let's be realistic. It's Saturday night. They're going to go out. They're going to do whatever. Maybe they're popping over to SNL, whatever they're doing. But a brilliant time slot.
Yeah.
And now I think I understand the show, but are you doing live sketches as well as taped stuff?
So here's what we'll do. Well, first of all, to comment on the time, I like to tell people this is the smaller budget, probably less funny version of SNL. This is the pre-show to the real show. It'll be a weekly, you know, a topical week in review type show.
Good.
Right?
Good.
But from the average guy's perspective, we're not going to get into a ton of political stuff.
Good.
We're not going to get into a ton of celebrity stuff. So it'll be a lot of, you know, I'd say half of the show will be studio based. It's going to be us going through stories and giving
the Tomasulo take.
Because we don't have enough takes from people on television.
Will it be a hot take?
It could be a hot take. It could be a scald. You know what? No, mine is going to be a scalding take. Steve. That's going to be the difference. I'm going to have scalding. My takes are going to boil your skin.
That seems right.
And then, you know, fun. And then half of it will be pre-taped field pieces. Not necessarily sketches, But you know, where
now field pieces, just to cut to the chase for that, is where Pat will take a camera and a microphone out and hassle innocent civilians.
Right.
That, that could very well be one of them. But one of them that we're also doing is we're eschewing the typical in-studio guest each week. So we're not going to have an in-studio guest with a you know, a celebrity or an author or anything like that. Our interview segment each week will be with real people.
That's
so
great.
We're going to go into the...
Because you're a man of the people.
I'm a man of the people. So the first one we did is me with a couple of 80-year-old ladies doing some mall walking. And we talk about them. And the next one could be some friends of mine that I made from a lowriders club. And then after that, it could be a barbershop. But we want to get different people. It's like a round table discussion, but with real opinionated people.
Well,
and not these hacks that you see on CNN that are all getting paid to spout what they say.
I get it. Andre and I have talked about this many times. Dave, you've talked about this as well. Pat has a tremendous amount of courage. There's a Spanish word for it. Giant cojones.
Cojones?
And I really look forward to you being out on the street, because you're great out on the street. You're great with a microphone and a camera. Don't you agree?
My favorite interviews, Paul, are with you at Lollapalooza. This is when I realized you are the man of the people. When you were kind of dressing as each genre, I put it, at Lala.
Right.
Well, remember guys. Nude tennis?
Oh, nude volleyball. That was fantastic.
Oh, was it volleyball? I knew there was some sort of nude sporting event.
It was both. I did some tennis, and I also, the tennis balls came from a certain blurred out region. It's cojones, but it's also, listen, I'm not going to oversell it. It's picking your marks too. You got to be smart. You know what I mean? You size a guy up. If you look at a guy and you say, well, this guy, if I step over a line, might hurt me very badly, then that's not a guy that you confront.
So it's calculated risk.
Are you kidding me? I'm 163 pounds and 5'8". Yes, it's calculated.
Wait, are you sure you're 163 pounds? Because if we trump that scale, you may be much heavier.
I could be.
Dave, any questions for Pat Tomasua?
Well, I was just going to wonder, Pat, are you going to be in the studio then at 10 o'clock on Saturday night? Because I'm doing the sports, which would be the last thing right before you come on. So I'm hoping, I want to give you a big buildup there.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever seen our morning show?
Yes.
You have.
I'm not a fan.
And and how often in those 6 hours do you see technical mistakes or things go wrong or generally awful situations?
Well, it's a better count if you say how many times do things go right.
Right. Yeah. So do you think I would really do this show live every week?
I guess that's...
Heck,
get it.
No, we're taping it Friday afternoon to give us a whole day to spit shine this thing and make sure it's not a complete
train
wreck.
There you go. Okay.
But so can people get tickets?
Well, we have a live audience every Friday.
How do you get the audience?
You go to manofthepeople.com and you sign up for tickets.
Well,
now I'm
going
to say this. We have we're almost at capacity for every show through April. However, I'm
going to
say this.
Well, look at you, bozo. You got a waiting list.
But here's the thing. People are like, wait list. I don't want to get on that wait list. Here's the thing. When you offer free tickets, people just glom up a whole bunch of them, not knowing if they're going to go or not.
That's
so there are times when during the week we find out that people aren't going to show. So if you get on the waiting list, there is a very good chance you might still get a ticket to the show.
There you go.
What about on StubHub?
Listen, you want to sell them, that's fine with me.
Turn them over.
Just,
make
there
a
you
profit.
Go. Demand, that increases the mystery surrounding the show.
Pat, final question. Being a man of the people, who are you most looking forward to interviewing in this inaugural season?
Boy.
It's a good question.
Well, Andrea, that's anticipating that I've looked further than 3 weeks ahead in our
That makes sense. Right, yeah. Right. I'm sorry.
I have to be honest, I'm just hoping that we get this show completed for this week, and then I think I will... first episode, I'll give you a little tease, one interview that I really enjoyed was seeing that we are the first show with a live studio audience since Bozo.
Yeah.
I found, you know, there was a 10-year wait list for Bozo at a time, so I found the list of little children who never got to get on Bozo. And I tracked some of them down as grown adults to hear their hilariously heartbreaking stories. And they are hilarious. And I did a piece with them. And then I brought them into the studio. And I'm just going to say that I had a bit of a Bozo surprise for them.
Cool.
What a good professional tease, huh?
So you will get a little taste of old WGN to new. It's like we're like the Force Awakens of WGN. We're bridging the old to the new, not like the latest movie, which was crap, but we're like the Force Awakens. And then also a nice thing that we did was we, you know, this is a big occasion for Chicago. It's a late night show, so we had something built to commemorate this occasion, and we presented this thing to some of the city's, one of the city's biggest decision makers. I will say that, too. We commissioned a big piece of artwork to commemorate the show, and we tried getting the city to display it with a certain person. I'm not going to give away his name, but it's Amr Emanuel, and that's another little tease.
Well, you know, we have an in with the mayor, so if you ever need help there, don't call. It's Saturday night at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's Pat Tomasulo, and it's Man of the People. And by the way, there could be a movie deal that's down the road. There could be Pat Tomasulo on ice.
Mm-hmm. Let's get five episodes done before we get that ambitious.
I hear they're working a script called The Shape of Tom Skilling. It's like The Shape of Water, except it features Tom Skilling.
And everybody, watch it live. Or even if you're not going to watch it, just leave your TV on so it registers.
There you go.
That's right.
Really the Nielsen.
If you watch it, just
that's
leave
right. Would it kill you? Would it kill you to leave your TV on Channel 9 at 10 o'clock Saturday night? All right, man. Congrats.
Thanks, buddy.
See you later.
See you, Pat.
Good talking to you guys.
That's Pat Tomasulo.
He's so great. He's hilarious.
He's good. Show should be great. Full head of hair, ready to do TV, Saturday night at 10.
There's nothing like being backstage with Pat Tomasulo before he performs at one of your comedy shows.
Mm-hmm.
He is just hilarious.
He's very funny. And as I look up, I see the 95th promo for Pat Tomasulo's Man of the People that's run since I got here at 6. Elise Glink will join us here in a little bit. We'll talk about some real estate stuff and some money stuff and some stuff. And after 8 o'clock, Dean Richards on Showbiz. We were talking about Dean in that segment the other day. It's one of the more popular segments on this show. And we occasionally do get to the show business stories. But mostly it's just Dean and I being an idiot. So if you have not yet heard it, I hope you listen at 8:10. And by the way, if you listen to the show with any regularity and you enjoy the show, I would ask you, why aren't you going out and telling your friends? You know, it's not like we have all the listeners yet. I won't be happy until everyone listens to this show.
When we finished wrapping up our cars with Pat Tomasulo, Man of the People, we can wrap our cars with you, Steve Cochran Show.
Here's the thing. If you go out and tell 10 people today to listen to the Steve Cochran Show mornings from 6 to 10 and 720 WGN. Well, that's not enough. Tell 11 or tell 12 or 12 or tell 13.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Just
don't you
safe.
Think now that you've had Pat on the show to promote your show, that to promote his show, that he will, on his first edition of his new show, will mention that he was on the show with you and everybody should listen?
I don't think he even knows who I am. I'm not even sure he knows I work here.
He knows who you are, Steve?
Yeah, sure. No, I don't think he does, actually.
Good point. He didn't ask him to be a part of the taping.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know what I'm saying? So did he say he's got every show already in the can till April, or just the crowds are
the
ready?
The crowds, I think, yeah.
Okay, all right.
The first show, I think, is almost in the can. It should be anyway.
Sounds right. Hey, Saturday night we're doing stand-up comedy at the Metropolis in Arlington Heights. We'll give you a box office number as soon as I find it. But in the meantime, know this. Know that you can still get tickets. We got some tickets left. Not a lot, but we have tickets left at metropolisarts.com. It's 7:30 on Saturday night. The great Larry Reeb. By the way, condolences to Larry. He lost his wife a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, God.
She went ill. I never had an opportunity to meet her, but everybody that told me about her said a wonderful woman, obviously. And Larry, a comedy legend in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he's back out there working. So you come out and see Larry Saturday night. I promise you it'll be funny. John DeCoste as well and me, stand-up comedy. We stand up while you sit down for the Cochran Comedy Tour. And at 7:30, box office number is 847-577-2121. Or you can go to metropolisarts.com. We'll have fun Saturday night in Arlington Heights at one of my favorite theaters. Done stand-up there many, many times. Looking forward to seeing you out there Saturday night again. And you know what, Joe? Let's give away a pair of tickets. Let's give away a pair of tickets now. Let's say 720th caller. Joe's very reasonable. He said he would take seventh caller. Seventh caller at 312-981-7200. If you can join us Saturday night, would like to be there for free on me. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. By the way, all of that is a Blue Thunder White Lightning production.
White Lightning. Dave.
That, it doesn't really go there.
Headlines next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo! Ow!
Love that money.
Remember when Elise Glink said, "Don't go nuts for Bitcoin"?
Right.
Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies such that they are average 40% off in the last 24 to 48 hours.
Didn't it fall like 14% between yesterday and the day before?
Oh, 40 total. So 40 I'm sure it did. Elise Glink joins us now. Thanks for the advice on Bitcoin. I put all my money into it.
I guess I have to tell you sooner rather than later.
Actually, I didn't invest anything in Bitcoin, not because I'm a genius, just because I tried to log on to one of the cryptocurrency sites and couldn't do it because everybody was going Bitcoin crazy at the time. But the truth is always a truth, right? Anything that goes up that fast has to come down.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like investing to me. It feels more like gambling. And I try to stay away from anything that feels like gambling when it comes to money.
So you haven't been to Vegas lately?
I go to Vegas like four times a year for conferences, and the last time I was there, I like to play games that I can actually understand. And so, the only thing I pretty much
are you the nickel slot lady?
No, I hate slot machines. I hate them. Okay. I feel like it's too out of my control. So I play blackjack, which I'm bad at, and I play it for about, I don't know, $50-$100 worth, and then I'm like, this is stupid, and then I walk away.
Oh, are you the annoying lady at the end of the table that, like, takes a hit at the wrong time and then I lose money?
Probably.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Listen, we have a lot to talk about here, and let's start with these horrific California mudslides and that, you know, Montecito real estate, not exactly low-end, and those people are going through a nightmare.
They are. It's interesting. I was thinking about talking about natural disasters on the show. The new numbers have all since come out from NOAA, the National Centers for the Environmental Information Agency. Thankfully, these have not been changed or removed yet from the internet. So it's interesting to see the numbers came out for the year, and there were 16 natural disasters in 2017 where the losses were greater than $1 billion each. And what's interesting about that, and very, very sad for the people who have gone through it, is that 16 is a huge number, and that altogether, since 1980, which is kind of where a demarcation point where they talk about global warming, the losses of 219 events, so we had almost 10% of those events in this year, about 8%, it's over $1.5 trillion
wow.
of losses. And I don't even think that really, they don't really have good numbers yet for Montecito, which Oprah's house alone is probably worth over $100 million. But the mudslides in Santa Barbara that we're looking at right now, they're already looking at the dollar value of homes in the mandatory evacuation area of $2.3 billion. So they don't have any numbers yet, but 7,800 homes are at risk, 8.2% of all households in Santa Barbara County.
Yeah, and if you go through the list you're talking about, Southern California wildfires, December numbers are not in yet, but Realtor.com said 2% drop in sales makes sense. Northern California wildfires, 900 lost home sales, 18%. Lower than expected. Hurricane Irma, 9,700 lost sales. Harvey, 3,700 lost sales. There were floods in May in Missouri and Arkansas and California last February. The list goes on and on and on. And I mean, 2017 was particularly terrible.
It was. And that list that you just gave doesn't even include Puerto Rico. Right.
Oh, good point. Good point.
The North Dakota, South Dakota drought, which cost farmers and ranchers $2.5 billion. The June hail and tornadoes in the Midwest and upper Midwest cost homeowners $5.3 billion and commercial property damage. Colorado had a hailstorm in May that cost $3.4 billion. There was hail in Texas in March that was the size of baseballs. That caused property damage of $2.7 billion. There was the freeze in the southeast where, because of global warming, everything was blooming. That was in March. And stuff is ahead of schedule there 3 weeks. And so the hit to the peach industry, the blueberry industry, the strawberry industry is expected to be over $1 billion.
So all of this has an impact on the greater economy because you're talking about the big numbers and the more localized numbers in regards to the loss of these
particular disasters. But when people lose their homes or their livelihoods, they can't spend money. And you know, there's a domino effect to all of it, right?
There is. And it's interesting because the economy overall has been coming back fairly strongly. We've now had two quarters of growth of 3% or better. Not much better, but about 3%. And the Fed is releasing its beige book today, and I took a look online. It's already out there. And, you know, and we're seeing in the Midwest moderate, what they call modest to moderate growth. I mean, this is, who even knows what that means. But they expect, you know, that things are going to be picking up smartly. And so what's interesting is that there are places like Hurricane Harvey where overall in Houston, 19 zip codes have seen median rent increase by 10% or more since the hurricane. And that's mostly where the biggest extensive flooding and damage was, like the area of Bel Air, downtown Houston, and Dickinson. But on the other hand, you're also seeing rebuilding going on there. And so while the increase in rent kind of would be a depressant to the income, the rebuilding is helping generate some of that 3% growth that we're seeing. And so it's kind of it's a mixed bag. But overall, what's happening is the damage and taking these homes, particularly in California, which has been hit north and south, you're taking homes, a lot of homes off the market, and so everybody is scrambling to find a place to live. And that's causing an increase in homelessness and a very serious increase in home prices.
Let's do this. Take a break. We'll come back. Give us a couple more minutes here, Elise, because we want to ask you about your Nostradamus-like predictions of where money and real estate will go in 2018.
Sure.
And then we'll drag you back in here in a year and find out if you were right or wrong. Stand by. More of the Elise Glink coming up. It's thinkglink.com. And her appearance here is sponsored by our friends at Grandview Homes.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo!
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 Ow!
Love that money.
Back to our friend Elise Glink, thinkglink.com.
Elise, what is the most movable to neighborhood now in Chicago? One or two of the most movable. I know development in Bronzeville is huge, and South Loop and West Loop. Is there an area that's just really popping right now?
I think the city is really popping, although there's still some good rents to be had. A lot of new rental properties are coming on the market. So if you've got bucks, because they're expensive, there's a lot of choice. And I think the West Loop is still just continuing to bloom, which is nice to see.
There is a development in areas that were troubled in the past, which can be a good thing, obviously. But do you see prices coming down at any point?
So what's interesting about Chicago compared to everything else, you know, nationally, home prices have been jumping for the last couple of years, 5-7% a year. There are some places around the country where you're actually, like San Jose, where this year and last year home prices rose something like 8-9% in a year. So anybody might step back and go, bubble. And I think that we're sort of at a tipping point right now where some places might be seeing prices come down. But for Chicago, which really hasn't seen that sort of popping nature of things, and in fact, if you look in the North Shore, for example, which is where I drive around all the time, you're still seeing a lot of houses for sale, and you're not seeing a lot of really eye-popping house prices, right? I know that Griffin just spent, what, $53 million to buy, I don't know, the top four floors of a building in Chicago. That's pretty unusual for the state of Illinois, but around other high-cost places, that kind of number, strangely, is not unusual for a residential home. So it'll be interesting to see. But in Chicago, I think we're going to not see prices come down too much. I think we're just going to see them either stay where they are, move a little bit up.
What do you get for $53
million? I guess you have...
Is that two bedrooms, two baths, or is it bigger than that?
I think it's a one-bedroom, actually. It's got 42 bathrooms, but just one really big bedroom.
Right, and you don't get laundry up in the apartment. You have to go to a laundromat, which is weird. I mean, it's quirky. It's really quirky.
No, in the building, you just drop it off, and somebody else down there takes your laundry and your dry cleaning and everything. You know, it's just convenience. That's what he's buying.
$53 million gets you four floors, accessible by what? You have your own private elevator, I would assume, right?
I would assume. I don't know. You know, to actually go see one of these apartments, you have to basically pawn your children, and mine are off at college. So I couldn't go see it. I don't know.
Because you like your kids. I'm talking with Elise Glink. Before I let you go, there are two things that are all over the TV, anytime you turn on the TV. And those two things are shows about weddings and shows about real estate or homes. So the real estate or home shows, the fix-up shows, the flip-it shows, those shows, you must watch those, don't you?
You know, occasionally I do when I don't have anything better to do.
Got a favorite?
I need something calm. You know, fix or flip. I like that couple that actually just went off the air because now they're having their fifth kid. I forgot their names. They're like married and they fix houses up, and she's kind of always smartly putting him in his place. I like that one.
Chip and Joanna Gaines. Chip,
there you go. Thank you.
Yeah. What's it called? Fixer Upper? Yeah.
I don't know what it's.
I like that Chip
like that.
Guy because he's goofy in love with his wife, and she just rolls her eyes at him all day.
You should thank Sandberg for that because I think that's one of her favorites.
That was our research department screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one. And you know what I like about them? I don't know if you know this, but they've actually turned that show into a whole industry for the tiny town that they live in with a general store that you could buy cool stuff at.
Aren't they in Waco?
You can order it online. I have a leather bag, her favorite leather.
Aren't they in Waco?
They are in Waco. All I ever think is I could buy a lot in Waco. They have a restaurant opening. They have paint colors.
Okay, but here's the thing. If they keep redoing houses in Waco, aren't they going to run out of houses? It's not a very big town.
Yeah, it seems like that would be the case. And the reason why they're having that fifth baby is because they were at a concert and had a really good time.
See, I don't believe that. I believe
I don't know why I need to know that, actually. But thank you for sharing.
They shared it.
I believe the reason they're having the fifth baby is like the old farm reason where the farmers would have 10 kids because you needed more kids to work the farm. Mm-hmm. I think with all the business they're doing, they need someone else to work the empire. What's the business called?
Magnolia Farms.
Magnolia Farms. So is everything Magnolia this or Magnolia that?
Yeah, mostly.
And why Magnolia?
I'm not sure. She might like the flower or something. Okay. I'm not sure. But
it's some sort of a song, right?
Or the Tom Cruise movie.
No, I don't. Because at some point, frogs will rain down on Waco.
Mm. Hail goes down on Waco, just to bring it full circle.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And do you have a runner-up show you watch?
No, I'm into The Crown right now. So I watch
about
British things. I'm going to watch the Queen talking about her coronation on Sunday if anybody wants to join me.
Okay. All right.
You can just listen to Steve talk about it.
We could.
I'm actually pitching a show to replace the Chip and Joanna show where it's just me on the phone yelling at a contractor. What do you mean you're not coming when you said you were coming?
I like watching Lottery Dream Home.
What is Lottery Dream Home?
It's people that have won the lottery and
they've lost all their money.
Well, a lot of them mostly didn't have any money, but I think it's cute because sometimes the people have just won $1 million, and then they say, what is your budget for your dream home? And it's only $310,000 because they know not to spend it all, so it's not always $7 million homes, you know.
Okay.
So it's a good show.
Did you see the guy that one of the $300 million, $400 million winners is like a 22-year-old kid or something?
Yeah, he's 20.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 20-year-old. Oh, that's a good idea. Give a 20-year-old a half $1 billion.
No, but he's got good advice because I read that he already has a trust set up and the money's going to be received in the trust. So somebody got to him first.
That's a good thing.
Was it you?
No. I wish. I would have taken only a very, very, very small piece of it to advise him.
It's half $1 billion. A small piece is $10 million.
Well, okay. Who's counting?
Yeah, exactly. Elise Glink, thinkglink.com, sponsored by Grandview Homes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we're back with the news in a moment at 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
8:12, Dean Richards live from Channel 9. You know, we had Pat Tomasillo on this morning.
I know.
It was quite a break for him, since nobody will talk about his show.
I didn't even know that there was a show.
Is it true that he tried to rap Larry and Robin in the rap that he uses on cars to promote his show?
Everything has been wrapped in those car raps.
How much vicious jealousy is going on now in the newsroom and backstage because he got a show and nobody else got a show?
No, not a bit.
Oh, please.
Not a bit.
I'll bet it's vicious.
All the rest of us are way too lazy, Steve.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Because it does take a lot of work. You got to go out on the streets. You got to talk to people with a camera and a microphone.
It's amazing how much... work to put together.
It is a lot of work.
That show that premieres on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'm told it's Saturday. I haven't seen any commercials or promos for it at all.
Yeah.
He's already pitching the Home Shopping Network, C-SPAN 3. I mean, he's got a lot of big plans for the show.
Yep. So, I don't blame him.
You know, he's got some fun ideas, though. I mean, he told us, Dean, that he got a list of all of the people who were on the wait list for the Bozo show.
That's correct.
Who never got to had a little surprise for them.
That's
a
good idea. That is correct. I saw what the surprise is. You want to know?
No.
Should we
Bozo?
Blow the surprise? Should we blow the surprise before Saturday?
Well, I'd be fun, too, but you probably should.
Nah, I probably.
Are you going to be on the first show?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Because you're a clown aficionado.
I pride myself.
King of the clowns.
I pride myself in all things grease paint.
You have a lot of clown knowledge, and by that, I mean clown spelled with a K. Clown.
Backwards K.
Knowledge.
Backwards K.
So you might or might not be on the show, is what you're saying.
I think that's accurate.
Okay. That don't ruin the surprise, though.
That is an accurate statement. Steve, yesterday I was at the dentist's office.
How'd that go for you?
Well, not the way I thought. I had a little toothache.
Oh, boy.
And I thought we could just easily get it corrected. One root canal later.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, so I had that, but, you know, whatever, you know. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
Are you okay, Dean?
Well, you go to the dentist, you expect you're getting a cleaning, and 3.5 hours later, you're crawling back to your car. That's not easy.
It's not that they had, like, mountain excavators climbing in my mouth.
You know what's funny about a root canal? Nothing. No, the thing about a root canal, and I assume you had it done this way, maybe you did the old school anesthesia where the dentist just punches you in the face, but they give you the anesthetic, but it doesn't affect your hearing. Or your sense of smell.
Right. And you can smell the burning
of the
enamel.
And the drilling, where it sounds like a construction crew in your mouth.
Right. Mm. I don't know what the deal was, if this anyone's ever had this happen. They were making s'mores out of my mouth. Is that unusual?
Quite tasty.
Standard dentistry. I'm going to be honest with you.
I was a little surprised at that.
Yeah.
And I've never had so much Novocaine in my life.
Yeah, you can ask for an extra shot.
I set a record once. I'm not making this up. I had 7 Novocaine injections.
I had about 7. That much yesterday.
Did you guys? I had 2 when I had a root canal.
Yeah. I had about, there was like, I'm going to give you a little more. You still feel that? Yeah, I'm going to give you a little more.
Yeah, I had 7
shots? 7.
Yeah. And partly because, you know, I don't want to feel any pain at all.
Right.
So they go, is that good? And I went, and he thought that meant one more because my face was completely numb.
Is that why you're still drooling?
Yes.
Are you still drooling?
Yes, and the appointment was 1.5 months ago.
I don't know how dentists can understand you and that you have a mouthful of equipment.
They have Rosetta Stone for dentistry patients.
They ask you a question and like, and they completely understand what you're saying.
I think it's like a joke with dentists and dental hygienists. Where, you know, they're just playing with you
at some point. Just to mess with
you.
But like, they asked me to recite the Gettysburg Address right in the middle of a
score.
The main reason I bring this up is when I was leaving the dentist's office.
Well, the main reason you bring it up is for sympathy, but the secondary reason is
Sympathy would be second. Number one, I met the nicest lady when I was leaving the dentist's office, and she stopped me and said how much she enjoys our segment every morning.
Nice.
And
what's your name?
She told me, and, you know, Steve, I was full of drugs.
Well, describe her.
Full of the drugs.
She had committed a crime and you had to describe her, what would you say?
She was just a very, very nice Caucasian lady.
Nice white lady.
I don't know, 5'7".
When you were leaving the dentist's office and they have the height chart so you know what size the robber is?
I should have paid better attention. Okay. I was a little focused on my mouth at that point.
What sort of dentistry did she have done?
She was just in the hallway, so I don't know if she was at the dentist's office or one of the other fine offices.
Oh, I see.
I assume she was just hanging out in the hallway. I assume she was doing something there. But she said to say hello to you and how much she enjoys the segment.
Well, hi, white lady.
She enjoys, but literally, she's like, "Oh, I just want to tell you how much I enjoy
and
Steve." And my response was,
"Thank you."
As he's drooling on his shirt.
So I wasn't drunk. If you're listening this morning, as far as you know, I was not drunk. I just came from the dentist.
What a great cover! One of Dean's ex-wives has a birthday today. We'll tell you about that.
Common back in his hometown, and we love Common. Seal has made some negative news recently. We'll see if it's still negative. Glenn Frey, his wife, is in the news. Remember, Glenn Frey died, what, a year and a half ago now?
Yep.
And there's a new Kanye prodigy that has been spawned.
Oh boy. That's really why I needed to be anesthetized yesterday.
Wait for the name. I'm waiting to hear the name.
Wait for the plague of locusts if they keep having kids.
Oh, no. Raining fish.
N818, Dean back in a second.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. All right, which of your ex-wives is celebrating a birthday?
Let me check my files. It's Betty White.
Love Betty White.
96 years old today.
Well, still a babe, too.
96 years old and doing well and still active.
Well, as a matter of fact, you know what they're doing for a birthday today, Dean? I don't even know if you know this. They're doing a theme birthday. They're putting her in one of those escape rooms. but they're leaving the door open. They just don't know if she can get out of her chair to get there. You know, because she's getting older.
Oh, she can easily get
out. She'd probably get out before any of us.
Get up and kick your butt.
Did you ever watch any of the Betty White stuff from, like, the, not even the Mary Tyler Moore stuff, but even the 60s?
Before.
What a babe.
I like watching those old black and white game shows on the Buzzer Channel.
She's a beautiful lady.
She's frequently a panelist on Password.
And funny,
but she was a knockout.
Yeah.
I think she's still hot to me. I love her. And Andre,
what broke you two up? Do we know? Was it just living in separate cities, too hard to make it work?
Yeah, our schedules, conflicting schedules is what we're saying publicly. Andre, do you know that she is half Greek?
You know, I knew that from you.
Yeah.
You told me that.
Yeah, last name is Whitesopoulos.
Right, and they shortened it.
her mother's maiden name is Tsatsikas.
Oh, I think I know a Tsatsikas.
Christina Des Tsatsikas.
Ah,
and she used to say, I love Dean's Tsatsikas, and then she'd pinch him.
She'd say, Dini mu sagapo.
My girl.
Watch it now.
My girl.
What's going on with Seal?
It's a sexual allegation. Still balancing the ball on his nose, which is what I always think of when I hear his name, sadly. He is being accused of an unwanted sexual attack.
Oh, really?
By his neighbor. This is the full story.
Is it Rand Paul? Is Rand Paul his neighbor?
No, not at all. Oh, okay. Apparently, Seal loaned his salad spinner to his next door neighbor.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding.
Stop it.
This is not a joke. This part is not a joke. His neighbor is
Richard Simmons salad shooter?
Not a salad shooter. The spinner that you put the lettuce in when it's wet and you turn it
to dry it.
And the water comes off the salad. Who hasn't borrowed their salad spinner from their neighbor?
So when he didn't get it back, he went over and sexually advanced on the person?
No. He loaned it to his neighbor named Tracy Birdsall. She's an actress.
Okay.
When she was returning the salad spinner, that's when she alleges that he forced himself on her in their kitchen. This is back in November of 2016. And she's alleging...
This is either a terrible story or a pitch for a new cooking show. And either way, it's bad.
She alleges that he groped her and kissed her. And she wasn't going to say anything about it until she saw Seal's criticism of Oprah Winfrey in a meme, which implied that Oprah was a hypocrite in the Me Too movement.
So, because she was friends with Harvey.
A long story.
Or not friends.
Because
she
was an acquaintance with Harvey Weinstein. There's a picture of Oprah kissing Harvey Weinstein. So she decided that Seal was being a hypocrite in trashing Oprah on this when she alleges that the salad spinning incident, the salad spinning scandal, took place.
And he is vehemently denying?
He is vehemently denying, but the L.A. Police are investigating sexual battery. Steve, could I borrow your salad spinner, by the way?
Yes. Yeah, take your time returning it as well.
Yeah, keep it.
What happened with Glenn Frey's wife?
Glenn Frey's wife, Lisa, has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. She claims that the hospital there failed to properly diagnose Glenn Frey's ulcerative colitis, failed to advise them of the risk, failed to treat him for infection. He died in January of 2016. The suit is not stating damages, but a wrongful death case is now in play as a result of all this.
Kim and Kanye have two children. What are their names? Or had two children. They still have them, that they were the first two.
Yeah, they didn't kick them out after they were born. Mm-hmm. They got to keep them.
One's Blanket, the other's Paris. Was that that suit?
No, that's Michael Jackson.
North and Saint.
I think, is it North?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Northwest. That's right. Northwest.
Northwest, because Kanye West. Northwest and Saint.
And Saint West.
And I understand that this next baby, the baby that was just hatched, is it a girl?
It's a baby girl, 7 pounds, 6 ounces, born via surrogate.
All right. Now, let me guess on the name. Gold Digger? No? Not right?
Topless.
What about featuring? Because most of Kanye's songs feature somebody.
Somebody would else.
Name a child featuring.
That would be convenient. Yep.
Yes. Do they have a name yet?
They have not announced the name on.
We should do like a baby name pool for the most outlandish. Because I could.
We could do a text question between now and 10 o'clock. What do you want to name Kanye and Kim's new baby?
Oh yeah, this will be kind.
You know what? Sorry, I suggested
throw it out to
this.
The text That's line. Fun. Why don't you put it on a comment section of,
yeah,
of
sorry.
A website?
What do you want to name Kanye and Kim's new baby? And then we'll have Dean call him.
Oh.
Common was in town.
Common was here yesterday. This guy is such a good guy.
He's a good dude.
When I left interviewing him yesterday, I just thought he makes me want to be a better person.
Yeah.
He makes me want to
good citizen.
Help people, because that's all he does. He's always helping others.
Yeah, he makes you want to. You don't actually do it, but for a moment you want to.
No, not at all. I actually splashed somebody when I was driving yesterday.
Right. But for a moment there,
just
you
for
thought
fun.
I'd be a better person.
I could have easily avoided it. I did it on purpose.
But the important thing for people to remember here is Dean wanted to be a better person.
Right. I thought of it. I thought of being a better person.
I get that.
One of these days I'll actually act on it. But Common was at the Hilton Hotel yesterday. The Kennedy Forum National Summit on Mental Health took place, where a number of people were speaking, including former Representative Patrick Kennedy, mm-hmm. son of Ted Kennedy. David Axelrod was there. The Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps was part of the panel, a whole very distinguished panel of people speaking about mental health, including our pal Common, who has been kind of doing a tour of prisons lately and talking to the incarcerated, trying to lift them up a little bit. And this is what he said.
I went to state prisons and visited with individuals who, if they would have had an opportunity to be treated with mental health care, lives wouldn't have been lost. Right. They wouldn't, their life and lives wouldn't have been lost or be in prison. If they were treated with mental health care, the city would be safer. If some of our young people, after seeing and witnessing violence and dealing with the poverty and the pain that goes on in our neighborhoods, if they were treated with mental health care, they wouldn't go out and regurgitate and go out and transform, you know, go out and create some more violence if they were treated with mental health care.
What do you do for fun? Well, what do you just do when it's time to relax? I'm just going to kick back for a little while.
Well, I mean, I definitely like to watch basketball. I like being with people who I love to be around, whether we eating dinner, going bowling, going
bowler?
To the ocean.
You good bowler? Bowler.
I've been the last two, we just bowled like, I think last week, and I won both times. You know, that's just who I am, you know.
Okay, yeah.
I'm a great bowler, and I actually like playing basketball. I like, you know, drinking wine and enjoying, you know, a good time dinner with friends. I'm simple with the things I enjoy, but I will go do other things like snowmobiling or, you know, did the diving off the cliff, you know, into the water.
I'm not sure if the diving off the cliff had anything to do with the drinking of the wine.
I'm trying to picture Common snowmobiling and bowling.
Right?
Me too.
Right?
Does he rent shoes or does he have his own?
I should have asked. That would have been such a good follow-up question.
Yeah.
He did promise the next time that he's in town, he literally came from the NAACP Spirit Awards in Los Angeles on Sunday night, took a red eye to be here, to be at the symposium here yesterday. But he said the next time he's in town a couple of times, we're going to go bowling.
That's tremendous.
This will be my first A-list bowling
How great would that video be?
Experience.
When was the last time you bowled?
I bowled maybe 6-8 months ago, and I don't want to, you know, challenge him in any way because he sounded a little cocky with how good he is, but I'm a pretty good bowler myself.
I used to be decent, and now I suck like you wouldn't believe, and I think it was Duncan Keith's Hawks bowling thing. And Brian Campbell and I both rolled like 93s.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, they were just bad.
Is that when you stole the shoes?
Yeah.
You stole bowling shoes?
I was in the elevator with Patrick Kane. He goes, Steve, and he looks down. He goes, shoes? I go, oh, crap. Oh,
yeah, he said he forgot, Dean.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I hate about bowling.
The rental shoes?
I don't like wearing other people's shoes that other people have worn.
Yeah, that's gross.
How do you feel about the rental pants they have sometimes where, you know, you just come in?
Who wears pants when they bowl?
All right, talk to you later. That's Dean.
The countdown going on right now. Morrow, up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. We can be wild. We can be free. We can be anything in life we want to be. We can move mountains. We can break walls.
You know this song? The official Olympic theme song, U.S. Olympic team theme song. Legends, band's called Sleeping with Sirens, and it's Tony Granato standing by. You know, Tony Granato could have retired a long time ago. Never paid for another drink or dinner in his life. But he loves the ice too much. Loves the ice. And headed for South Korea in the Olympics. Hey, Coach.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
Great. Nice to have you back on. Congratulations on all the success and the continued success. I know you're going to have over there.
Thank you very much. Looking forward. I love that little intro music.
Isn't that cool?
Do you believe in miracles? Yeah. I've heard that a lot in the past. In fact, miracles on, I don't know if it's on Showtime or HBO, but every time I turn my TV on, it seems like that movie's been on in the last month or so. So,
What's your number one feeling when you watch that movie?
Oh, just the excitement of, you know, getting a chance to participate in the Olympics. And obviously that 80 team was the team that, I guess, set the standards for USA Hockey or opened the door for USA Hockey or put USA Hockey on the map with what they did during that Olympics. So I was 15 when it happened, so I remember it like it was yesterday because that was the inspiration for me in, you know, pursuing hockey and trying to play college hockey, trying to play Olympic hockey, trying to play pro hockey. I grew up wanting to be Stan Mikita and Bobby Hall.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, this Mike Ruzioni and Mark Johnson guy came along, too. So there were a couple other guys to have as my heroes, and those were the guys. Jack O'Callaghan. Don't forget Jack O'Callaghan.
Yeah, we know Jack from the Alumni Association here and obviously the Blackhawks. And Ruzioni. I've played golf with Ruzioni a few times. He's just Mike Ruzioni. He's just the same guy he was back then.
Yes, he's still Mike Ruzioni. I talked to him a little bit. I get to talk to Mark Johnson quite a bit because Mark Johnson's right here in Wisconsin with me coaching the women's team. And I get to get all their perspective on what it was like getting ready for Lake Placid and what it was like after and what that team was all about. So I'm lucky to have those guys close and around. And in fact, when Jack won, in 1980, somehow I got to be introduced to him when I was right after they had won and he'd come to the Blackhawks. Mutual friends got us together and I had a chance to get to know Jack and he told me all about the experience and that was pretty cool as a young kid to meet a gold medal winner right after he'd won his medal and did so much for hockey.
Yeah, talk about inspiration. All right, no pros. No pros means what this time?
Well, what it means is we got three groups of players that we selected from. We had collegiate players available to us. We had players that are on minor league contracts that are playing down in the minors available to us. And then we had all our Americans that are playing over in Europe available to us. So we did a lot of evaluations and a lot of work on the computer watching guys' games and shifts to do our evaluations and make our picks. But we have a hungry group of players. We have experience from one player, Brian Gionta, who had played in the NHL for, I think it was 17 years. Last year he was in between on whether or not he wanted to go back and play, had some offers to go back and play in the NHL. And we talked to him over the summer, and he said, well, I'm not going to sign. I'd rather play in the Olympics in my last year playing. So we have him as our captain. The other guys are all brand-new Olympians. So that excitement and that inspiration for guys that have not had that opportunity, I think, is going to be the fuel and the energy, I think, that we're going to have to play with and drive off of. But we got a lot of talent. We got a lot of players. 15 players have played and have some NHL experience. The four college kids that we have on our team will be in the NHL real soon. So I think we got a nice balanced team. I think we got an exciting team that the American people will be fired up to watch. And the purity of it, I think.
Oh, we lose Tony? It's like the line clipped. All right, stand by. We'll get him back.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Richard Lewis next hour, 8:54. U.S. Olympic hockey coach Tony Granato. We fixed our phone problem. Dave, say hi to Tony.
Hey, Tony, good morning. In addition to being the U.S. Olympic hockey coach, you are, of course, the coach of the University of Wisconsin. And before you go overseas, you're coming here this weekend. Give us a little preview of this matchup between Wisconsin and Notre Dame at the United Center.
Yeah, we're looking forward. We played Notre Dame Friday night in Notre Dame, and then We with the agreement with the United Center, we had great help from the Blackhawks in organizing this, so we could play Notre Dame one game in the next, I think we agreed on the next 4 years. So it starts this year, so it'll be a Notre Dame home game on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon in the United Center. Notre Dame's a number one ranked team in the country. I think they're 15 in a row now. We played them early December. We lost two tough games here in Madison. They got a goaltender that's all-world right now with a .963 save percentage, which is
that's insane.
Phenomenal. That's insane. It is insane. Kel Morris, he's the real deal, too. I mean, the kid has done it as consistent as any goaltender I've ever seen at any level. So he'll be a challenge to beat, but it'll be nice. We got Josh Esser, your seventh-round pick from the last year's draft, the Blackhawk pick. A freshman that's playing really, really well. So I know Blackhawk fans that do come to the game, keep an eye on Josh. He's having an outstanding freshman year. So it'll be exciting.
NBCOlympics.com for everything related to NBC's coverage. Opening ceremony will be on Friday, February 9th, as Dave said in sports a few minutes ago. South Korea and North Korea will march in under one unified flag. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that might even give you a little goosebumps this morning and a hope for a better world and peace and all the good things that the Olympics are supposed to represent. So let's be a little optimistic for a change. That might not be a bad thing. Hey, Coach, before we let you go, I think back to 1980, and I think about those games that led to Lake Placid, where the big bad Russians, who were nothing but a team of the best professionals in the world, I think in Madison Square Garden, they pounded the USA team like 11-1 or 10-2 or something crazy. Prior to Lake Placid, everybody goes, oh, this is going to be ugly, ugly, ugly. Anything's possible, but the rest of the world doesn't live by our rules. There won't be NHL players that the rest of the world could use. For instance, Ovechkin's not going to be playing for the Soviets. So will they be fielding pros around the world that you guys will have to face, or how's that going to work out?
Yeah, most of the players that are going to be participating in the Olympics are professional players that are playing in Europe. So the European League, so the Russian League, the Swedish League, the Swiss League, the German League, they have lots of pro leagues over there. Most of the European teams will be filled with players from those teams. Our team has 17 players that are playing professionally in Europe right now that are playing on the big rinks and playing international style of hockey. So we have a lot of players from those leagues as well. The rest of our roster, we have the four college guys that are on our roster, and then four guys that are currently playing in the minors that are on minor league contracts. So when you get there and you get to see the rosters, the Russian team will have the most recognizable names. A lot of their players, including Pavel Datsyuk and Ilya Kovalchuk, have gone back to play in the KHL the last couple years to get ready to play for the Olympics. So their team will be stacked with big names and guys that have a ton of Olympic experience, international experience as well. So on paper, they will definitely look like the favorite again. Obviously, like you said, they won't be playing under their flag with the restrictions or the punishment that the Olympic Committee hammered down on them. But it'll be the same team. And I think everyone's looking at this as kind of a different Olympics from the standpoint that it's pretty unpredictable from the standpoint that not a whole lot of countries know a ton about the rosters or players that will be participating. So there's a little bit more, anticipation to and excitement to that. On how these teams are all going to play and perform. But I think we'll match up really well against them. I think from a talent perspective, I think we got a really talented team that'll be exciting to watch that can compete with anybody. I think it's going to be a wide-open tournament. And like I said, I think the Russians will be the favorite going in just because of the names they have on their roster.
And Shelley's one of your assistants?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He has done a great job. He's been with us since the announcement in July. He's been doing a ton of work on all of the evaluations and trying to make our selections. He was in town last week. We met for a day and a half to get ready for the stuff that we're going to need to implement once we do get to South Korea. He's been in communication with all of the defensemen and penalty killers to try to get them ready to go. So really looking forward to having him on staff. He's been on the staff now for three USA teams.
He's the best.
Retired. There's no question about that. He's the best. He's a competitor. He's participated in five Olympics. The first one was 1984. His last one was capped in 2010. So he's got a ton of international experience and one of the best guys to work with because he's a competitor and he really is what USA Hockey is. He represents us in such a great way and looking forward to working alongside him on the bench.
Who's got an earlier curfew, the team or Shelley?
Shelley doesn't sleep, so he doesn't need it.
That's a good point. That's a very, very good point. And he's going to be ready to go in, Coach, as you know, at any time if you tap him on the shoulder. So.
Yeah, no, we've been joking about that since day one. I think when we made the announcement, we said Scott Young, who is another one that's in tremendous shape, that's played a long, long time and played in four Olympics, he's on our staff as well. And we all said that both those guys are probably back home training right now to get ready to try and make their team. And Chris will probably bring his full bag of equipment just in case we need him.
I wouldn't count him out. That's Coach Tony Granato. Coach, safe travels, nothing but the best. You know what a big fan I am of your work in total, and I'm looking forward to a great run with you guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. Coach Tony Granato, Wisconsin University, and also your United States Olympic team. Good dude. Good luck, Tony.
He is.
Yeah, we like Tony. Possible not to pull for him. All things Olympic at NBCOlympics.com. 9 o'clock. And we'll come back and get the news in just a second. Big 9 o'clock hour featuring Ro Khan and Richard Lewis. Which is the guy that's really neurotic and in his own head? Oh, that's Ro. More in a moment on 720 WGN. My friend Ro Khan standing by. How are you this morning?
I couldn't be better.
When I play your opening theme, does it kind of cause you to twitch a little bit? Like, holy cow, is it 3 o'clock?
Yeah, kind of. I hit the microphone exactly at the time I always hit it in the music. Right there. And I was like, hey, this isn't my show. I don't have to say welcome aboard. I don't have to do all that stuff that at 3 o'clock.
So how are you?
I couldn't be better.
Let me tell you what we're doing. We're going to Vegas, and I'm not saying this just to rub it in your show's face, obviously, but we're going to Vegas, and we're inviting people to come with us to see the Hawks and the Golden Knights. Now, as a longtime season ticket holder of the Blackhawks, I assume you were there when the Golden Knights were in town?
I was there when the Golden Knights were in town. I happen to think that the Golden Knights are one of those things. I was just listening to Dave talk about the Corey Crawford situation. It's like this is my nightmare because it's been a decade of, you know, excellence here with, you know, without question, where every year you thought they were going to do something spectacular.
Yeah, and the playoffs are automatic.
Yeah.
Right. And, you're going, well, I'm not worried about the playoffs. It's just a matter of how deep they go.
Right. And now I'm like, I don't know. And then when the Golden Knights were at the United Center, it's very cool to watch that team because it's a team that is just, you know, doing this on, they've got a lot of skill players, but they also are doing it on grit because every single night when they go on the ice, they're taking on a team that passed on one of their players.
Yep.
Right? That let them go.
Yep.
And so the whole team rallies around that one guy.
Revenge. Every game's revenge.
I know. And then half of the games are taking on a team that's completely hungover because they were spent the night in Las Vegas.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the arena and seeing the Hawks beat these Golden Knights. You know, what was it, 5-4 the last time the Hawks and the Knights played late?
Yeah.
You know, and that Jeff Glass and Forsberg, I mean, they're doing the best they can. But as we said earlier, they're not Corey Crawford. So we need Crawford to come back, even if he can't stand up straight. You know, because I don't think he would just stand in net and spin. I think he'd be a good thing.
You know, just to get to Rose's point about the opposing teams coming into Vegas.
Yeah.
In the Blackhawks' case, they will play the previous night at Arizona. Now, that's a short flight.
Yes.
Still, they'll get in pretty late to Vegas. So I'm sure they'll go to their hotel and go right to bed.
So you don't think I should go to Coach Q's room and go, hey, Coach, you want to go for a hike?
Go up to Lake Mead? No, I don't think so.
Hey, Coach, you want to go see the Hoover Dam?
Hey, you up? You're up, right?
Coach, it's Cochran. I don't see that working out real well.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right, so if you want to enter, simply go to WGNradio.com/contest, go to the Steve Cochran page, upload a photo of why you are the number one knucklehead, most crazy Hawks fan, and you will be judged, and then we'll pick a winner coming soon.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned this because we were, was that funny? Because I am jealous of this Las Vegas thing because we were, the day that the promos started running for this, Richard Roper was on, and we just sort of rolled into this conversation on the show about how we should do a trip to Las Vegas where we take listeners, and it's like the Richard Roper experience in Las Vegas. Because he walks in, it's like Norm in Cheers.
Yeah, because he's casino, there all the time, right?
I'm not even exaggerating. You walk into, I've done this with him. You walk into like the Bellagio, and every pit boss, hey, Rich, how you doing? Oh, yeah, that was a bad beat last time. Hey, better luck this time. we were there, and we had a female accompaniment with us at the time, and he, his girlfriend, and my wife were there, my ex-wife. And we were playing craps and it wasn't going very well, and we ran to Mike Tice, the football coach, was with the Bears at the time.
Yep.
And we were like trying to get up and talk to him at a craps table, and he's like, get away from me, kid. So we're walking out of the casino, and Rich goes, hey, wait one second. And he puts $100 into a high roller slot.
Okay.
And $13,000was the hit.
Oh, really?
And it doesn't. And they don't like make a bing, bing, bing sound when that happens.
Right.
Just the high rollers, a little light comes on above the thing.
Yeah, they go, hey, oh, hey, congratulations.
$13,000. And then a lady comes over with a clipboard. You know, they sign something. And then they handed him $13,000 in cash.
Is that right?
In stacks,
So you can tell I haven't had this experience.
And I'm like, wait, what are they doing? He goes, yeah, now they pay in cash. And I'm like, well, wait, I don't under what? What? So we were staying a couple hotels down, and we had to stuff the cash down our pants.
That'd be a problem I would love to have.
Well, here's the thing. You
not
go
down
out,
your pants.
You could go out in the casino lobby and you could buy a leather bag for $12,500
exactly.
And you only have to fill the bag with $500
right.
in cash.
That's really true. But the thing is they're like, well, you know, people are watching for this transaction to occur, right? There's always people kind of walking around.
Oh, sure,
And then we're thinking, oh my God, what do we do? So then it was like, you know, we all stuffed, I don't know, a couple $1,000 each, everybody's pants, and then we split. We all went in different directions. It was very Ocean's 11.
Yeah, and when you got back to the hotel, if you didn't want to give Rich his cash, it's not like he's going to go get it.
Oh, no, we had to give him the cash.
That's what friends are for.
Don't you throw it on the bed and roll around in it?
Well, you know, giggle? This is funny.
That's
tell you
just a Tuesday for Ro. Come on.
Let me tell you a little funny story about that. So we give him all of his cash back. He goes up to his room, and so everybody was going to come down and have, you know, bought champagne and celebrate this moment. And we were there, you know, I was there for a radio thing, so our general manager was there, and he was like, I'll buy, you know, champagne for everybody.
Was fun.
And he was, actually. But this was, so, you know, he was gone for like 90 minutes. And I'm like, well, where were you? We were down here waiting for to do the champagne. He goes, well, you win that kind of money, you got to throw it on the bed, and you never know what's going to happen. And that's, and then, you know, like, and then I'm like, that story alone made me never, ever, ever, ever want to touch cash again.
Yeah, I understand. You know,
I was really only kidding.
You know what's funny is I didn't think about this, and you may not know this, Ro. Andrea is a germaphobe, not like you are, but she's a germaphobe with money.
I know I won't.
And she doesn't want to touch paper money
or coins.
I know
that's why.
Why
I don't carry. I will never if I get 99 cents back, I will leave it on the counter for the person behind me because I don't want to touch change.
I think journalists in Chicago of a certain age all have this fear because they've seen the Richard Speck prison tapes.
Okay.
In which
okay, that's true.
In which Richard Speck and his cellmate played human ATM.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And there was the slot out of which the money was dispensed.
Well,
was
it's
not
as
the
bad as
part
you,
of the body.
Yeah, it's as bad as you think it is.
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
Now the trip itself comes up on February 12th, 13th, mm-hmm. and 14th. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do a Justin Kaufman show with him, night of the game, and then the following morning, mm-hmm. a couple hours with Pete McMurray, who still is praying to God I drop dead soon so we can get a full-time show again. But on your show this afternoon, I don't want to guess, but I'm thinking you're going to do a little bit of what we've done this morning, and that's try to decipher exactly what Trump weighs. Because he does not weigh 239 pounds.
There was a little bit of that yesterday, and then last night on the text exchange, everybody on the show was speculating because all those memes were coming out of the athletes who also weigh 200, yep. like 235 pounds, 6'3",
yep.
and all that.
Yep.
Well, you know, as my doctor likes to tell me, you know, there's a big difference between muscle weight and fat weight.
There you go. Yeah. That's what I always say, too, Ro.
Yeah.
Muscle weighs more than fat.
Muscle weight is, well, muscle does weigh more than fat, and it's very dense. So you can have somebody very lean and very heavy.
I can promise.
Then you can have somebody very doughy and very heavy.
I can promise you that 239 is only about two thirds of the way there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I'm approximately the.
Well, you're 6'3, aren't you?
I'm 6'2.
6'2. Okay. Trump's allegedly 6'3.
Yeah. And I'm about, and I'm 237. So you tell me mm-hmm. if he's 239.
He is not.
You look at me, and then you.
He is not close
to
239. Mm-hmm. And I'm a couple pounds over 239, mm-hmm. and I'm 6 feet tall. And I can tell you right now, he's not 239. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not even close.
He's probably hiding a six-pack behind the KFC belly.
He's hiding a keg.
Yeah. I think he's also lying on that. Well, you remember he used to say he was 6'4".
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
You know what they do, though? This is what really gets you, a guy like Trump, is when you stand up on that scale that weighs you, mm-hmm. they have that little thing that comes down on your head.
Yeah.
And when it knocks the hair down by 2 inches, you know, it touches the top of your scalp, that's what they're actually measuring.
I'm glad
from.
You mentioned the hair, because how bad a day was it for Merck stock yesterday? Because when you hear Propecia is something that Trump uses and his hair looks like that, I mean, you know, some people are never going to use that drug again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing in the Michael Wolff book that that I fully enjoyed and somewhat believed was there was a grain of truth to almost everything in the Michael Wolff book, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean it was true. And the hair thing, apparently Ivanka explained how that hair gets to be that hair to Michael
right.
Wolff.
Pull it all up in a big hair circle.
Yeah, it's the great circle. It's the great orange circle at the top, and then you just spray it all into place, which see.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Well, we wish him the best.
It's a whole lot of not good.
We will, however, we did do the test. We did the psychological test yesterday.
Did you get 30 for 30?
I did not. And Violetta got 10 for 30, so that was not so good. But it was I missed one because Ben Bradley gave it to me early, and I missed one on the Ben Bradley early test because it was I couldn't repeat a sentence word for word.
Okay.
Yeah, the but I'm in radio. I have a sequencing
issue. And DeVellantis, how did she do?
She did great.
Yeah, she did awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Ro, did you guys ever get to the bottom of the Violetta saying that Joliet should be pronounced Joylet?
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Seriously?
She said she watched a documentary, and it's pronounced Joylet.
No, I worked there for 5 years. I was a news director at a radio station in Joliet, and we had this debate endlessly.
Oh, that's
it's
tremendous.
Joliet. I didn't hear that discussion, otherwise I would have called it.
Yeah, it was the other night. I was going to yoga, so I couldn't text anyone.
It's Joylet like toilet, and of course it's not.
No,
so.
It's Joliet.
Yeah, no. That's a joke.
Oh my God.
But, I mean, that's the thing. That's what people say as a slam against Joliet. There is an argument in Joliet about whether it's Joliet or Joliet.
Right. We had that argument all the time, too.
But it's not Joliet.
God, I wish I would have heard that.
And she's like, I saw it in a documentary. And I go, you didn't see it in a documentary.
I'm curious. I'd love to see the documentary about Joliet.
Well,
other than Blues Brothers, I don't think it's ever been mentioned in a movie.
Yeah, Mike Mathis used to say Joliet all the time. Remember?
Yeah.
He said Joliet.
Yeah. Well, Joliet. I mean, there is a legitimate argument about that, and that was in the Jeffrey Bear.
Joliet.
The Jeffrey Bear, you know, the Channel 11 stuff when he did the joys of Will County or whatever, he was talking about I think the Joliet thing, and then somehow she saw that I believe she might have been with a group of other pranksters at the time. They're like, no, they call it Joylet, and then it sort of got into her head, mm-hmm. and then she was there absolutely convinced that they call it Joylet, and I'm like, really? Really? No, it rhymes with toilet. I mean, they mm-mm. don't say that's not real.
Mm-mm. No, mm-mm. yeah. We mm-mm. gotta even talk with her.
Mm-mm. The damn kids.
She's suspended immediately.
Yeah.
All right, 3 o'clock this afternoon on CLTV. And 3 to 7, it's Ro and Anna and everybody. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
See you later. That's Ro Khan. Again, Joliet.
Joliet.
Thank you for that.
You bet.
I hate doing this because, you know, you always take it the wrong way. You've taken everything the wrong way ever since I've known you. 7 years ago, I was in Paris, and I remember exactly...
Forget Paris!
All right, you stole my outgoing message on my answering machine.
What are you, crazy?
How long? I mean, this is...
What are you, nuts?
I know you're ethical. I'm ethical. We don't... You know, when people steal jokes, we can hate that. But I hate when people can steal my outgoing messages. I remember calling you.
You don't even know what you're talking about. You are
you
so
have
on
my
the
same answering machine outgoing message, and it
that's,
bugs
that's
me.
That's my message. I didn't get that message.
You wrote it in Paris.
You wrote it in Paris. I had that message 7 years ago.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
There's nothing like chemistry with an old friend.
Wow.
Or the guy you hated in camp when you were a kid.
I despised that jerk, and then I grew to love him.
Yes, you did. Richard Lewis is here. I've known Richard so long I had hair when I met him.
Good night, everybody. You want to come
long.
On stage and open tonight and then start with the hair joke and then run screaming out of the room?
I just want to be in the crowd.
I don't want to. It doesn't matter anymore.
I just want to sit back, smile, and admire. How are you, man?
I'm feeling great. This is it's bittersweet, you know. It's a great thing. I had an accident a couple of years ago. I fell off a subroof, and then I had 3 or 4 surgeries, and I had to cancel 2 years of work. I got ready for Curb.
And this is your town.
This is the town for me.
Yeah.
I don't just say that. Historically, I knew about it when I was a kid. I met all the people that went through here. They were best friends of mine with Berman and
back at Mr. Kelly's.
Yeah, all those clubs.
Yeah.
They had Phyllis and Winters. I mean, everyone had to go through it, and you know, all of them.
Bob Newhart?
Oh, of course. Newhart, Nichols, and May.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everybody. So it was really important to me when, back in the late 70s, early 80s, to say to treat this like gold. This is about the 40th, if not more. I mean, I had played one or two little joints before Zany's. This is their 40th anniversary.
How about that? Happy anniversary, Zany's.
And the beloved owner, Rick Hewitt, who I love like a brother, he saw me. He was standing in the back of some club. And he went, "You're never playing anywhere else but my club. You're dead."
Right, so right, right. And he knew people that could make that happen.
Yes, he did. And I said, "Whatever you say, Mr. Hewitt." Then he treated me like gold for almost four decades.
This town, since the minute you came here, this town has loved you.
Well,
I don't think you've ever had a bad night in Chicago.
Well, I even if I have a great show, I'll never think of it that way.
Sure.
Because I don't really have an act, and I always come home and I go, "I wish I thought of that, I wish I thought of that, I wish I did this riff, I did that riff." It's just I'm my own worst enemy. But no, the truth is I've had great success here with these audiences. They're very discerning and hip.
And I've told you forever, and you said, "I'm going to get a restraining order." I've told you forever. You're my favorite stand-up, period.
I'm going to get a restraining order.
Yeah. I told you. We played the clip from Curb.
Curb's coming back, by the way. It's coming 10th season.
But with Larry, right, it'll be 2028 or something. When is he going to come back? We'd like more now.
No, we got to shoot it starting probably in a couple of months.
Is that right?
I got this great, great article written by the jazz critic Howard Reich this past Sunday, and it was really long and thorough and beautifully written. He's a great writer, and I'm a fan of his work. So I usually don't send anything to Larry David anymore. He had to have an intervention once. I'm a road guy.
Sure.
And I get hundreds of articles.
Sure.
So I used to ship some like reviews and things. And on the set once, he had an intervention. He had a review intervention with famed director Larry.
Tell
Charles.
Lewis to stop sending
me
stuff.
Yeah, no. He says, "I've known you. We were born in the same hospital. I know what you do. You know what I think about your art. If you send me one more review, you're going to go to Betty Ford for a review intervention." And so, but this article was so unbelievable that I sent it to him because I put, "Don't read," 5 exclamations. "Don't read it."
Right.
"But I want you to know that on the street in the last 8 or 9 cities, the word on the street is that you did top yourself past season one Curb, and they can't wait for the 10th season."
Tremendous. So,
and I credit you with really resurrecting my life at 50. You know, this started 17 years ago, 18 years ago. So he writes back, "How can I not read something when you put 'don't read' with 5 exclamations? Of course I read it. It's a great article.
Why you wrote 'don't read' on it.
Because the intervention problem.
Sure, exactly.
But there was a big chunk in there about, look, I'm so neat. I want him to appreciate how much I care about him.
Right. But you want him to know and he loves you, and you want him to love you for loving you.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Hey, let me back this up, because these guys don't know how you fell off the roof.
Well, it was a 7-year drought, and my former house is 3 stories, and there's like a sub roof with a lot of drains, and my wife and the rescue dog were having a beautiful morning, and the car was ready to take me to a really lucrative gig in Las Vegas, and for absolutely no reason other than my obsessive compulsive disorder, I climbed up this second roof to see if there were any leaves in the drain in case it would rain and flood the house.
Because when you look at Richard Lewis, you think home improvement.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Totally.
I'm a Jewish Tim Allen, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So you climbed out of the roof to see if there were leaves.
And I slipped, and the rest was a horror
show. Did your wife see you fall?
No. And she came up, and she was in such... It was a pretty bad fall.
Yeah.
And then I had several other things done. While you're in there, not plastic crap, but...
But touch-ups.
I said, "Do I have a hernia?" "I think I do." "Yeah, you do." "Beautiful."
"Beautiful."
"How about the cataracts?" "Well, that's another place, but you're two of them.
We can get a guy over here."
"What about the sciatica?" "Well, there's no operation, but you'll be limping for 5 months." "Well, then I'm out for how long?" "About 2 years."
All right.
So my wife looks down at me, and I'm not crying. I'm in shock.
Sure.
I blacked out for it, and she says, "Who do I call? Your agent?" call 911, mental case.
Then the Asian.
She was in shock.
In L.A.
Because I told her, cancel everything for 2 years. I'm not in the business. So now I'm back, and this is the last
city. But when you're nearly paralyzed by an accident,
I wasn't paralyzed.
But when that happens, you call the manager or the agent first? What's the protocol?
I don't have their numbers. I burn them. I mean, the gig was that night, so they had to make a quick change. I had to get some, Muppet or something in my place.
Yeah, I think Statler. Waldorf was tied up.
Yeah, exactly. Good references. You've always been the king of references, haven't you?
You know why? Because I'm a stable genius. That's why. That's exactly why.
Someone else is. You have that in common.
No, I don't know. I've never heard it before. No,
don't go there with me this time. I made a vow this trip. I was rehabbing during the primaries, during the election. I got better, and there's a great humorist at night. The news is 24/7. This is all about my psyche when I go on stage this trip.
I reached out to you when you were bedridden, basically, just to tell you I was thinking about you and I was worried about you. But you probably had 10,000 cards because I was expecting a call.
I don't appreciate cards. No, or, I don't, because then you have to feel badly ripping them up immediately.
And throwing them out.
Yeah.
I'm into the recycling thing.
Card guilt.
Boy, talk about recycling. If I throw a paper in a garbage pail at my house that, God forbid, had pineapple ring can in it or something, or Bartlett's pears, my wife goes, it's the end of the world. Then leave me. I like to throw everything out at once. I'm lazy.
I'm sticking a little Brooklyn in me. Come on.
I'm 70, man. I can't separate the pears and my legal pears.
You lose interest halfway through the separation.
I think it's more colorful to have food, a little paper.
Right.
An old baseball glove.
Colorful garbage.
Pictures of me at Zany's from 1982.
Of course.
I walked through that club yesterday. Well, I'll be there tonight, actually, now that I think of it. Holy mackerel.
Some
memories
else.
Are just incredible. 40 years. And you've been around. You've been supporting me for a long time.
Yeah, and I've been on that stage, and it smells the same as it did in 1979.
Well, I won't go up into the dressing room. I always used to get a penicillin shot before I went up there.
If
you walk around those 8x10s, there's a lot of sick bastards.
Oh, and some of them aren't even with
me.
Us. Some of them aren't here
I
anymore.
I know, man.
We are blessed. We are blessed.
Everybody went through that club. By the way, Zany's is equally as historic as all those old clubs back in the 50s and early 60s. You have all this other generation that started basically in the 80s.
Yeah.
Had to come through here. No doubt. Could you get me in? Can you call Rick? I said, you know what? It's your journey. You can just help so much.
Right. And if you want it, you work it hard enough to get it, and you impress Rick and Bert, and eventually maybe you're on stage.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's I just say, it's cutting to the chase, when people ask me, and sometimes you have it's 70. It's sort of, you look back, you can't help but look back, and people are like 40 years younger, 50. And I said, look, just be who you are in your DNA. You're authentic as you. There's no easy way. If you
can
make laughs about you and your life, you have a shot at making a dent.
You laugh now? Who do you like?
I've never watched too many comics, even now, because I don't want to hear any premises.
Right, you don't want to pick something up, maybe subliminally.
Yeah,
that
it
kind
keeps
of thing.
My head clear, and I know it came from me.
I understand.
There's plenty of them out there. There's great ones, but who cares what I like? That's my whole thing. This tour. Who cares what Richard Lewis likes? I'm just a speck of dust floating around in a world riddled with decay and horror.
It's a funny premise.
But come see it.
The shows are all sold out because it's such a happy thing.
Right.
But I'll be selling scalpers tickets right out in front tonight and tomorrow night.
I sold out most of the cities on this tour, and it was couple weeks ago, Los Angeles. That's a pressure gig when people are staring at you, particularly your doctor who just, ran tests on you 10 hours before. Get the blood work back. I'm just kidding.
But they were scalping
tickets.
Right.
This was hilarious. I mean, it's stupid. I take none of this seriously, by the way. But, see Richard Lewis, we have one ticket for $1,200. I said, what? I said, you have to be an escaped mental patient. $1,200.
Right,
I say mental patient with it's a term of endearment.
Oh, of course it is, sir. We all know those
from my past.
Hang on a second. We'll come back. More with Richard Lewis
don't
in just a second.
Me. Don't pressure me.
Let's talk about what's coming up
soon.
Learn something new.
Ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes?
On 720 WGN.
It's a brand new year. Out of the old, in with the new, with a Chevy Malibu. 7 years in a row, number one, 36 miles per gallon on the highway. The Chevy Malibu with all the safety features you love. Got that front collision braking. They got the deal where if you don't have your seatbelts clicked in, the radio's not going to work. They got it all figured out, man. They got it all figured out. Chevy Malibu. What are you driving now, Richard Lewis?
I have a car for the last 30 years. It has 89,000 miles.
You got a Yugo or?
No. Some guy who sold me is. They had this little Mercedes that I feel guilty driving, but it was.
Wait a minute, 30 years, you got 89,000 miles?
Yeah, I bought it in 89.
You don't drive much?
I bought it for kids. Drive much.
You're driving like 12 miles a year.
Not that much. My wife only drives us. She doesn't want me behind the wheel.
Well, probably safe for the people of Los Angeles.
I don't know. She's not that cool herself, Mrs. Magoo. With that GPS and the whole thing.
It's everything. Everything's on the car now. Everything. $3,500 total cash in a 2018 Chevy Malibu. Your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevy dealers are ready. 7 years in a row, number one. Celebrate the new year in a Chevy Malibu. Richard Lewis, sold out.
All week. My mother had a Malibu. She let me have it for college when I went to Ohio State.
The Ohio State,
yeah. But the Malibu didn't make it.
You know, there's two shows that you did, and I love both of them, and I don't know where I can find them anymore. Dr. Katz.
Oh, he's on YouTube. I stay in touch with Jonathan. He's a great,
how's his
great,
health?
He's hanging in there. He's had some issues.
Yeah, no, he's been
great,
sick
great
for a
great guy, very talented man.
And Squiggle Vision, very funny show. And Anything But Love.
Oh, I just wrote that down.
Anything But Love.
The first 2 years they have on DVD, but they didn't finish the series, Fox. I don't know why.
It's weird. Really,
that was such a great show.
It was a great show.
Would you ever, I mean, I know you're busy now.
Come
and,
back.
You know, yeah, would you ever, I know because Roseanne and Will and Grace, everything's coming back. Would you ever consider coming back for that?
It would be called Anything But Sex at this point. No, I don't think Jamie Lee would want to be get under the covers with this relic at this point. Mike, in fact, there was, I can't think of the actress's name. She's so great. Tia Carrera.
Yeah.
She played, there was an episode back in 88. She was a pen pal, and I didn't know what she looked like.
And then she walks on the set.
She walks in, and she's like, forget it, you know.
Yeah.
So I get this slight crush, and I'm thrown into a panic, and then she has to move out of my apartment. It sounds sleazy, but it wasn't. But it was. So then about 30 years later, she's cast by Larry David as my girlfriend.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and she says, Scott, first I'm your pen pal, now I'm your girlfriend. My career's shot. She's so funny. She's beautiful. Her name was Cha-Cha in the series.
Oh, awesome.
I remember when she did Curb, too.
And Cha-Cha, she used to look, monitor Larry David's toilet habits. You're going too much.
Hey, I heard a great Robin Hood story, too. Robin Hood Men in Tights. How much do you love Mel Brooks?
He's one of the icons that we're all built on in comedy, particularly in film.
And I love that Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner still have dinner most nights.
Once a week he goes over to Carl's house and they watch movies.
It's a great story.
And they watch movies. This is sort of inside baseball. It's okay. They watch movies because they're so bizarre, particularly Mel, based on phrases that he likes. Like if it's a prison phrase, like, let's say an army film, like "Man the Battalions." He says this movie has "Man the Battalions" in it, and they'll watch the movie based on one line.
Oh, that's
Mel Brooks for you.
Do I have the Robin Hood story right? Didn't you? You nearly died or something, and he was hassling you in the hospital to come back and do your two lines.
I finished the movie except one scene, and the sheriff has passed away. Dom DeLuise has passed away, but Dom was playing Brando, and. I had one line, and I would have loved to have been there, but I took Don Rickles out to dinner, and I got food poisoning, and I had hepatitis A, and I was deathly sick, and I was yellow and jaundiced, and Mel wanted me to finish up my scene. I had one line. The sheriff could have said, well, what do you think? You know, really, I'm in a hospital with 106 degrees. I look like a Jewish sardine.
Right.
And he kept calling the hospital room. Richard Mel, come on. And here's what he said. He said something. I don't do a good impression. He says, we'll pick you up in a stretch. We'll paint the yellow and white. We'll make you all white. You'll get to the studio. We'll lean you up against a big board of wood. You'll say, what do you mean? We'll take you right out on a stretcher, put you in the stretch, bring you back into your hospital room in about 2 hours.
Right.
And I hung up on him about 10, 12 times.
He just kept calling back.
Kept calling until my doctor called and says, Mel, he's very sick.
It's not going to happen.
No.
106.
No, but I mean, you know, it wasn't, thankfully, it happened when I was done, except for, you know, one line.
Sure,
but that's what happens. You're a slave to the production.
How's the shrink business now? You still seeing somebody?
No, they were fed up with me. And
did you get banned?
That's funny. No, I wasn't banned, but there was a restraining order.
Oh, no.
To use your phrase.
Can you see a shrink go, no, you've had enough?
I've had every type of analysis and psychotherapy, and I would say it worked in moments. I've had intermittent bouts with happiness.
I think you are as calm and relaxed and as comfortable in yourself as I've ever seen you.
Here's the reason. I will be tremendously anxious all week long on stage, but I finally, and this is no one could care, but after devoting my life to this for almost 50 years,
yeah,
and the greeting I get, particularly this tour and now in my favorite comedy city, one of the great cities of the world.
Sure.
I actually let it sink in. Nothing.
You enjoy
was
the moment.
I'm embracing every, even this interview. This is the
God
last
bless.
Interview I'll do, you know, for maybe a long time. I know it's morose, but I have to talk about it because
I understand.
Yeah, when I stare down at a young couple tonight at Zanies when they're in their 20s, like, oh, it's Richard from Curb. I'm fearful of death and.
And enjoy your night.
No, but I said, yeah, laugh now, man. Laugh now. I'm just trying to set you up, give you, you know, some tips.
I know you think you're telling the truth here, but I remember you coming to the Loop in the 90s when I was there.
Oh, boy.
And I'm sitting at the Loop
myself.
And you were doing your last tour. I'm done. That's it. Yeah. It's done.
That
it's
was
over.
The alcohol talking problem.
Listen, man, I love you. It's great seeing you.
Yeah, no, you too. And thanks, everyone.
Thank you,
here.
And
thank you,
sold out all weekend. I hope you guys
my career yeah. what it was.
I hope you guys have tickets because you guys.
I'll forget. It sold out for a long time, and they're doing. And every time I do, I've did about 10 or 12 shows, and
yeah.
publicists are like snickering when I walk in. You're going to wake up at 4 a.m. L.A. time 2 days in a row before you open. You sucker.
Well, let me tell you something, and I'll leave you with this. Richard's been a friend for a long time, and he's got a million people that want to talk to him. And I knew the shows were sold out, and you still wanted to come in and do this, and I appreciate that
as
a friend.
This city made my career, honestly.
Well, thank
God.
You, bud. I appreciate that.
I'll see you on the round the bend.
God bless.
You too.
News next.